Just reading this morning, be taken from 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'll be reading verse number 7. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. I'll be reading from the New King James. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you. We're always so thankful for the opportunities that we have to be with one another, to worship God in spirit and in truth. So thankful for these opportunities, and certainly we want to not take a single one for granted. You know, a lot of times when it comes to this time of year, we think about different things, and certainly we focus a little bit on Christ this month. But as I was thinking about this week and preparing for things that are going to happen this week, getting together with family, this was actually the topic that came to my mind. My guess is this week you'll probably have an opportunity for some courage. To have some fears and to have anxieties, but still do that which is right. As I've went through life, and as I've tried to live the Christian life, and as I think we reflect on our own lives, you are going to have plenty of opportunities at courage. Well, what is courage, if you think about it? Well, think about courage, it could probably be defined different ways. One of my favorite quotes about courage kind of goes like this: courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important than your fear. And I have really taken that to heart. Courage is not the absence of fear. It is that you have judged that something is more important than the fear or the anxiety in your life. And certainly I think there are many times where we come face to face with this road, where we're at that crossroads and we have some fears, we have some anxiety, we know what the right decision is, we know what we should do, but in that moment, that fear and that anxiety just kind of creeps up on us, and a lot of times we don't go down that road of courage to do that which is right despite our fears and our anxiety. My guess is this week you'll probably have an opportunity to be in contact with somebody that you should invite back to services. My guess is that you'll run into contact with somebody that could use just a mention of Jesus and His plan. Sometimes it's a little thing. Hey, I miss you at services. Hey, would you mind going with me to church sometime? Some of us will have that opportunity this week. You know, what I have found is this crossroads, I run across it more times in my life than I would care to admit. What I think we many times do is when we have these opportunities for courage, if we try to not even pretend like the opportunity of courage is there, we just try to live our life, and I don't even want to find myself at that crossroads. I don't want to even think I'm at that crossroads because I don't like the feeling when I'm at that crossroads and I feel those fears and those anxieties creep in. How many times do you find yourself at this road? You know, it's one of those interesting dynamics of the Christian life, is Christianity almost leads us to this crossroads more frequently than we would care to admit. When we think about growing as Christians, we might find ourselves at this crossroads more often than we would like to admit. When it comes to evangelism, we might end up at this crossroads more than we would care to admit. When it comes to trials and tribulations in our lives, we might end up at this crossroads more than we would care to admit. You know, I find it so interesting that the Bible does talk a lot about fear. And fear is one side of that courage equation. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the judgment that something's more important than your fear. So a lot of times we don't like it when we're at the crossroads of the opportunity of courage. Because when we're at that crossroads, we also feel fear. We have anxieties. We're nervous when we meet these crossroads in our life. The Bible talks a lot about fear, but certainly we're not going to linger as much on fear as we are going to be trying to focus on courage, the response to our fears and anxieties in life. But the Bible certainly talks a lot about fear. In our reading, 1 Timothy chapter 1, there, it gives us that idea that the Christian does not necessarily have that timid spirit. And I think it's based off of God. It's not necessarily based as much off ourselves as it is God. If God is really the source of our boldness, God is really the source of our motivation, and certainly He should be in these decisions as we come to the crossroads. As we try to make these hard decisions in our life, where we're trying to conquer some of those things that are standing in our way to growth, do we remember that God is there and on our side? When we have fears, nervousness, worry, uneasiness. See, when I talk about you being at the crossroads this week, you might start sweating a little bit. Because you think of that person that you know you need to talk to, that you keep putting off. I'm not saying it has to be, but just even the conversation, hey, we'd love to see you at church. Hey, we'd love to see you at church. Some of you right now are feeling anxious. Some of you right now are at that crossroads. Fear, when we're thinking about courage, it's not the absence of fear, but it's saying that something's more important than your fear. What are some areas in our life where we might run into this crossroads, where we might run into this opportunity again and again and again? I think one of those is in the area of growth in our Christian lives. How many times when we're growing in our Christian lives do we come across this crossroads, or has it been a long time since you came to this crossroads in your Christian life? Because that might be a statement all to itself. If your Christianity is comfortable, if your Christianity isn't pushing you to the next level to do things for your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to try to reach out, try things new that you haven't done before, that's growth. Doing things that you haven't done before. How many times do you end up at this crossroads? You know, I think about things that we haven't done before, and I tried to come up with an example in the Bible where we find people fall in these situations. When I think about growth, I do think about Esther just for a few moments. You turn over to the book of Esther. In Esther chapter 4, she's finding herself in a situation where she is going to be asked to do something that she's never done before. And as she's asked to do this thing that she has never done before, I believe she's nervous. I believe she has fears. I believe she's anxious over the situation and the things that are going on. Now, we can't linger on the situation too long, but basically a decree has went out through the land to basically kill all the Jews. And Mordecai has talked to Esther and said, Esther, have you saw what's basically been signed, what's been put out there? Do you understand what this means for the whole Jewish population? Do you understand what it means? And do you really think you're going to be safe? And that's kind of where we pick up the conversation in Esther chapter 4. And verse 11, Esther's kind of responding back. It says, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner courts of the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out his golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go to the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arrive to the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them, told to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present and have them fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days and night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Might be an extreme example, but a lot of times in our lives we feel that way when we're asked to do something new and is uncertain. He's being asked to do something new, and it's uncertain. The decree has went out to kill all the Jews. Mordecai says, you need to go talk to the king. And she says, I haven't been called for 30 days. And I know what the law is on the book, is if you go unannounced to the king, he can kill you. Unless he extends that golden sepulcher. She is uncertain, is she not? She does not know the results of what's going to happen. She's put in a situation where she knows what's right, but certainly she's got fears and anxiety. Does she show courage? I believe she does. It's not that Esther did not have fear. It's not that Esther didn't have anxiety. It wasn't that Esther wasn't uncertain. She was uncertain. But she did that which was right. You know, as a Christian, I have found myself at this crossroads many times. When it comes to my Christian growth and development, and I stand at that crossroads, and I start looking at the path, and I start to contemplate the path, and I start to get nervous, anxious, and fearful. I think it's part of life. It really is. The Christian life is not a life necessarily absence of fear. I think God tries to lead us away from fear. He tries to do everything He can to help eradicate that. But we are human, and we do struggle in that area in relation to anxiety and fear. I think God wants to get anxiety out of our lives. He's trying to lead us to peace, but we're human. He's trying to get a lot of the fear out of our life. But you know what? We're human. And God is working on His servant when it comes to the opportunity for your courage. You know, you think about growth. I think about growth in my life. Is that every time I've done something new, I've been nervous or anxious about it. Doesn't matter what it was. First time I led a prayer, I was nervous and anxious. First time I did a funeral, I was nervous and anxious. First time I did a marriage ceremony, I was nervous and anxious. The first time you do anything, you're nervous and anxious, are you not? At least a little bit. The first time, you might find yourself at this crossroads more often than you would care to admit. And certainly I think about that, because we think of Christianity, and it's about our spiritual growth and development, is it not? In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, Paul's getting on some of the congregation, and it says, "For though this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, and that of those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Why is Paul being so rough on the congregation? Because growth is an expectation. Growth is an expectation in relation to our knowledge of the Scriptures, but also our application of the Scriptures. I firmly believe that when we read the Bible, spiritual growth is not a suggestion, it's an expectation. We don't all start in the same place, and we don't have all the same talents. But if we're at the same place that we were when we became a Christian, that's a problem. We don't have to start at the same place. We don't have to have the same talents. But if you're doing the same thing year after year, and there's no spiritual growth and development, my question is for you, when's the last time you went to the crossroads of the opportunity of courage? Because you've probably been there. Or you've just been avoiding the crossroads altogether. Spiritual growth is part of the Christian's life. And whenever you grow, you extend beyond your comfort zone, which puts Christianity in an interesting dynamic, because what we realize is that Christianity is constantly going to be putting us in a situation where we're a little anxious, we're a little fearful, we're a little bit uncomfortable. Are we growing the way that we should? You know, I reflect on my life. And every time I had any significant growth in my life, there was fear, anxiety, those types of things. When Sarah and I started having children, that was new for us, right? First time going through this process. Was there a little fear? Was there a little anxiety? Was there a little nervousness as we went through that? Yes, it was new. Anytime you do something new, anytime you take that step, there certainly is a little bit of that. And to overcome that, we have to have a strong desire to grow as Christians. Do you have that strong desire? In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby." Grow in your knowledge of the Word, but the application of the Word as well. You don't have to ask a baby to eat. The baby has no issue with that. But when it comes to our spiritual development, are we looking for the crossroads of opportunity? Are we looking for the crossroad of that opportunity for courage to try to face some of those anxieties, those fears that we have, and try to move forward as best we can? I'm not saying we're perfect individuals, but certainly when I look at growth, growth has these things associated with it. We say, "I want to grow, but I don't want to have any nervousness. I don't know if it can happen. I want to grow, but I don't want to have any anxiety. I don't know if it's going to happen. I want to grow, but I don't want to have any fears." You're going to have some of that. That's just part of the growing process. You know, I look at different situations. I certainly think that growth is an expectation when it comes to the Holy Scriptures, when we read it, when we try to apply it. And certainly, I think of the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. We can't go through the whole parable, but I want to reflect on the one that God had the most issue with. If you think of Matthew chapter 25, we have the parable of the talents, and God starts giving out these talents, and God being in the parable in respect of comparison, and we see the parable of talents. All these talents are given back out, and we see that God returns. Of course, talents, we're talking about money, but I think there's certainly a direct application to the abilities which God gives us. But in Matthew chapter 25, look at the conversation between the one that God is not pleased with. Matthew chapter 25, verses 24 and following. It says, "Then he who had received the one talent came to the Lord and said to the Lord, 'I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. And I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. Why is God disappointed with the servant that receives one talent? Is the servant that receives one talent, what does he do with his one talent? Hides it? Buries it? What was the reasoning for the hiding and the burying of the one talent? It tells us right there in the scriptures. I was afraid. I was afraid. What was the master's expectation? A little bit of growth. The master's expectation is not stagnation. And if we look and we reflect on our Christian lives and we're at the same place that we are, or we're in a worse place, are we not growing perhaps the way that we should? If there should constantly be a progression, are we growing the way that God would want us to grow? He's not looking for a stagnation. He's not looking for somebody to become a Christian and say, "Look, God, I'm the same as that first time." He wants to see some growth. But you know what you're going to have to conquer if you're going to grow as a Christian? You're going to have to conquer some of your fears, anxieties, and nervousness. You're going to have to conquer some of that. Wasn't that the crime of the servant there in Matthew chapter 25? Why did you not do anything with the talent which was given? I was afraid. And I didn't take the opportunity for courage. You know, I do reflect on this a lot in my life. And certainly, that's the easiest thing for me to compare to is when I think of my life. I think of these opportunities and these crossroads in my life and what I would have, you can't predict. What if I took the other road? What if when I was 18 years old and Dan Kessinger came to me and said, "Kyle, there's a congregation that's really hurting right now for a preacher. They need somebody to sub in just for one Sunday. It's just one Sunday. Can you go?" I could have said no. You're going to have crossroads in your life just like that. I'm not saying your crossroads have to match my crossroads. That's not what I'm saying. But we all can relate to that spot in the road where we're like, you know what? I'm not confident in myself. I'm a little bit nervous. I'm not sure if I can do this. I've never done this before. Will you do that which is right? Certainly Esther found herself on that crossroads. I've been asked to do something that I've never done before. And I don't know what's going to happen. In fact, in her situation, she thinks that it's a very likely possibility by doing what she's about to do, she could die. She says, "If I perish, I perish." She is resolved to do that which is right, even if it costs her life. What a powerful example of courage. And certainly growth is a part of the Christian life. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." Are you looking for your opportunities of courage? Are you looking for opportunity to grow? Certainly that's not the only area that we want to consider, but when I reflect on my life, whenever there was a growth opportunity, there was fear, there was anxiety, there was uncertainty. And that's one thing that we have to look at and reflect on. Something else I want to look at this morning is in Acts chapter 4. Not only do I think that we come to the opportunity of courage when it comes to growth, but also when there's opposition. Whenever there's trials and adversity, and certainly here at Sandyville and all across the United States, the Lord's church is coming out of a great time of adversity, are we not? Wouldn't you say that COVID and hindrance effects has perhaps harmed the church in different ways and aspects? I mean, opposition. Whenever there is opposition, whenever there is conflict, there is an opportunity to purge. And certainly we have plenty of examples in the New Testament when it comes to individuals that face a lot of opposition. I think of Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, verses 17 through 31, we have a situation that's happening there. I'll probably focus Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. This is in relation to the Sanhedrin. We have Peter and John, they've been arrested, and they're addressing the Sanhedrin. Wouldn't you consider that opposition? The great religious leaders of the day, what are the great religious leaders of the day saying to these individuals? Chapter 4, verses 18 and 20 says, "So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, since all glorified God for what had been done." Opposition. Whenever there is opposition or adversity, there is typically opportunity for courage. Certainly, when we look at the situation, it could have been very easy for Peter and John in this situation, as they're before the Sanhedrin, as the Sanhedrin saying, "No, don't preach any more about Jesus, don't say anything about Jesus." You think that there could possibly be some anxiousness, some nervousness, some fear that could possibly be there. I know God tries to lead us away from fear, and in fact, every time He sends His people out, He tells them not to be fearful, but we are human. You think they might have had a little bit of fear? They might have had a little nervousness as they were going against the religious leaders of the day? Whenever there is opposition, whenever there's uncomfortable situations, whenever there's adversity, a lot of times there are opportunities for courage. What do we see Him do in the next few verses? We see Him pray for boldness. You go down a few more verses in chapter 4, the Sanhedrin says, "Go, don't talk about Jesus anymore." They threaten them, and we're going to see that this is going to be a common trend throughout the book of Acts, but we see that they pray for boldness. Picking up in chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, "And being let go, they went to their own companies and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, You are God, who made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, Why did the nations rage, and the people plot vain things, and the kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ? For truly, against His holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel who gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now the Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal." They're asking for help. They're asking for, really, this idea of courage, boldness, to do that which is right despite the opposition. And I think that happens in people's lives, is that we will be in a time in our lives where there's opposition, where there's adversity, where certainly there's a lot of times in those situations fears, anxieties, and nervousness. And we still have to decide to do that which is right. And you see that that is the example set forth here in the book of Acts, is they did that which was right. They had courage. Will we have courage when those things happen in our lives? When opposition comes, when adversity comes, when uncertain times come, will we have courage and do those things which God wants us to do? Certainly we struggle with fear. I think of Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, we have the limited commission. He's starting to send them out, and he wants them to preach, and he wants them to do what he wants them to preach that message and try to be faithful in the limited commission. But in Matthew chapter 10, three places he tells them not to be afraid. In verse 26, in verse 28, and verse 31, he tells them again and again and again, do not be afraid. It doesn't matter what opposition comes. It doesn't matter what adversity comes. It doesn't matter what uncertainty comes. You need to be fearless and you need to be faithful. It perhaps would have been very easy for them to withhold the message. When the opposition came, when the adversity came, when the hard times came into these individuals' lives, it could have been very easy for Peter and John to say, you know what? The opposition is stacked up against us. You know what we should do? We should be quiet. You know what? It's getting hard. They're starting to threaten us, and actually, you see, on multiple occasions, they're actually beaten. And we see, oh, all the threats and the beatings are coming down. Now is the time that we need to be quiet. That's not the example laid forth in the New Testament. That's not the example laid forth of a New Testament Christian. God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's not what He's given us. There's very few things that a Christian is actually supposed to fear. But this is not supposed to be about fear, but fear is directly connected to courage. Because courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the judgment that something's more important than your fear. So we almost have to talk a little bit about fears and that idea. But really, there are very few things a Christian should fear. I think of Ecclesiastes, fear God and keep His commandments. So this is all due to man. That's actually pretty close to what, now we understand we're human and we struggle in different areas. But really, when you read the Bible and you try to find, oh, give me the list of what a Christian's supposed to fear. That list actually, I don't think it should be that long. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have anxieties. I'm not saying that we don't get nervous. I'm not saying that we don't have fear. But a lot of times it's because we're struggling with things. We're growing. We're human. We fall short of the glory of God. So really, if you look at the list of things that Christians are supposed to fear, it should not be a long list. In fact, when we consider and we look at what the Bible says, you'd be interested if you read everywhere it talks about fear, it's usually saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. We think of the opportunity of courage. You're going to have that opportunity of courage when it comes to areas of growth in your life. You're going to have the opportunity of courage when it comes to opposition, adversity, and uncertain times. And another one that I think really rings home to individuals is when it comes time to evangelize. If you turn over to Acts chapter 9, we've had a couple good examples. I think of Esther. She's really put in a position where she's going to do something that she's never done before. She's got fear, she's got nervousness, she's got anxiety, certainly, but she does the right thing. We have Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. What great opposition, what great adversity in terms of worldly, and yet we see their courage. In Acts chapter 9, I find another individual I admire, Ananias, when it comes to evangelism. Certainly we have Saul, and we see in chapter 9 and verse 1 that we see the background of Saul. We know the background of Saul. Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. And certainly he is on his way to do some more of that. And certainly he has that situation where he is blinded on the road, and he is told some instructions. But we pick up there in Acts chapter 9 with God's conversation with Ananias. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. It says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And he said this, and he said to him, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire of the house of Judas for the one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is my chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered the house. You know, I think about Ananias quite a bit. I don't know if we could really get around the fact when you read verse 13 and he's talking with the Lord, when he says what he says, can you tell me that he is absent of all fear in that moment? That he is absent of all nervousness in that moment? That he is absent of all anxiety in that moment? No, I think he has some of those things, and that's why he says it. I think he's human. And certainly in that moment, when God is trying to send him to evangelize, we see some nervousness. Or you say, well, Kyle, he's really going to somebody who's got a rough past. Yes, he is. He is. He's still got to do that, which is right. sometimes something is more important than the fears that you have. Sometimes there are things that are more important than the anxieties that you have. Sometimes there are things that are more important than the nervousness that you have. And sometimes that's spreading the gospel with somebody. And I think you see it with Ananias. I think courage, when you see courage, it is something to be so admired. And the interesting thing about the road is all our roads are a little bit different. I'm not trying to compare you to me. But what I am trying to compare is your moments to my moments. And I still have these moments. I had that moment when I was 18. I had that moment when the discussion started about me possibly considering the position and being considered for this position. I find myself at this crossroad many times. I still find myself at these crossroads. You find yourself at these crossroads? You're going to find yourself at this crossroads when it comes to growth, when it comes to opposition, when it comes to evangelism. You're going to have a little bit of that. And that's okay. But sometimes you have to sit down and say, something's more important than my fear today. Something's more important than my anxiety today. Something is more important than my nervousness today. You know, I think about fear sometimes. When you look at the Bible, God is really trying to lead us away from fear. He really is. He's trying to lead us away from it. And many times we get sucked back into it. How many times do we lose the fight to fear? I think if we all look in the mirror, we can all say we've at least lost that battle once. I'm not talking about something that's easy this morning. Oh, Kyle, you're just talking about something that's easy. No, it's not easy. It's not easy at all. And it's one of Satan's probably most powerful tools. He wants you to be a little anxious. He wants you to be nervous. He wants you to be fearful because he knows that when you get to this crossroads, he's got a better chance. I'm afraid, so I won't talk to my friends. I'm afraid, so I won't talk to my family. I'm afraid, so I won't talk to the co-worker that I know needs to be talked to. How many times has this crossroads has taken one here? And discussions that should have been had were not had. Invitations that should have been extended were not extended. Pats on the back even that should have been extended were not extended. I'm not sure 100% how they're going to respond to this. I'm not sure how they're going to respond to that. And because of that, many times we fail at this crossroads. As a little article says on the front of the bulletin, the Christian life certainly has failure in it. But part of the trick of the Christian life is arising again. To do that which you're supposed to do. We're all going to fall short, but we need to get up again and do that which is right. Satan is going to do everything he can. But you know what? One of the things when you come to this crossroads that I want you to remember is that you might individually be saying, I can't handle this, but let me add something to this. I might not be able to handle this individually, but with God, I can. So with God, I can. You know, God has tried to say, I'm with you. I think it's Joshua chapter 1 verse 5. We're transitioning from Moses to Joshua, and God says to Joshua, I'll be with you just like I was with Moses. What encouragement that is. I will be with you. I think of Romans chapter 8 verse 31. What shall we say to these things? That God be for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, we can overcome many of our fears, many of our anxieties, many of our nervousness as we try to be the best Christian that we can be in His service. God is with us. That's encouraging. You know, you think of Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I don't care where you walk in this life. I don't care how many of these crossroads you find yourself at. God will be with you every step of the way. Will we fall? Will we make mistakes? Certainly we will. I think the trick of the Christian life is trying to get back up and keep going. The question is where's your next crossroads? Where's your next opportunity to courage? I would suggest to you, you'll have some even this week. Oh, it's off in the distant future, Kyle. It's off in the distant future. My next crossroads is far off. Well, if you're living the Christian life, it could be just moments away. It could just be moments away. When we try to grow, when we face opposition, when we try to evangelize, we come to this crossroads, sometimes almost on a daily basis. An opportunity occurs. A lot of times it's not an opportunity that we look forward to, but it's perhaps one of the most admirable things when we see somebody do that. Your road is not my road. But when we see somebody, that certainly we know they have a little fear in that moment. We know they have a little nervousness in that moment. We know that they have a little anxiety in that moment, and we see them overcoming that. What a beautiful thing that is. A lot of times that happens when somebody becomes a New Testament Christian. When you become a New Testament Christian, you say you have no fear. You say you don't have a little bit of anxiousness, a little bit of nervousness when you become a Christian. No, a lot of that's there. But you judge in that moment that something's more important than those fears. A lot of times when people come forward, they've got off that straight and narrow path. In that moment, they realize the mistakes that they've made. Certainly they've got fears, anxiety, some of those things. But in that moment, something's more important than that. Are you looking for your next opportunity at courage? We're not perfect individuals, and that's part of the battle that we face upon this life. It's one of the hardest battles. It's one that I think about many times. Certainly, I think of where I started, I think of where I am, but then I think, where in the world is God going to take me? How many more crossroads does he have in my life? Crossroads that I'm going to fight him on. Say, Kyle, I think I want you to do this, you know. No, you know, just through the scriptures and studying, God wants me to be the best Christian that I can be. Have the best qualities that I can be. He wants me to be more humble. He wants me to be a better evangelist. He wants me to be a better father. He wants me to be a better husband. He wants me all these things. And it's going to take courage. Perhaps you need to have a moment of courage this morning to do that which you know is right. Perhaps you are subject to the invitation in some way this morning. We would love to help you in any way that we can, if you come, if you stand, if you sing.